Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, family. How are you? How are you in the South? How about the West? Why don't we say a huge hello to Pastor Alvin and Amy in Singapore right now? I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God. I'm just thrilled to be here. I don't know about you, but I got up at 4:15 to be here this morning. I caught the 6 o'clock plane from Brisbane. If you are new to Pneuma, you have currently a FIFO senior pastor. I fly in, I fly out, but you never fly in or out of here. God has given us a burden for this house in this season, and we just are thankful for what the Lord is doing. And if you are somebody who only attends maybe this site or the ones that are directly linked right now, you are part of a church that's got 8 locations. There's one in Singapore, there's one in Bangkok, there's 4 here in Melbourne, and then there's one in Adelaide and one in Hobart. And each of us today are launching a brand new series. It's a very, very important series, and I was thrilled to be able to get here today to be with you. And I am just looking forward to what God is going to do as we embrace the Word of God. You know, the Bible is the only book on the planet that promises every time you open it, the author will turn up. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide us through these next few weeks together. And we're going to open it and we're going to be believing God that He's going to do some great things in our heart, especially in this season. Every season God is here, amen? And in Queensland, we have 2 seasons, cricket and football. Down here, you have a few more, and it's interesting. I love it. I actually do love it. I love this city, love this church, what God is doing. Today, I want to share some family news, so why don't we just open our hearts, wherever you are. If you're in some of the sites that are receiving this virus screen, please don't sit back and watch a movie. Engage. This is a family. We're engaged. The Holy Spirit's with us. Same Spirit, part of the same church, is doing something special in our hearts. So I want you to agree with the Word. I want you to open your heart. And the same Holy Spirit that's working with us here in the city is working in your location as well. So open your hands and open your heart, would you please? Holy Spirit, we need you. We're so grateful for you. We're so grateful that when Jesus went to the Father, He said, it's actually good because as I go, the Comforter is going to come. The Paraclete, the Guide, the one who reveals Jesus. So Lord, as we share, help us, Lord, not only speak, but hear and ultimately live your Word in a way that brings honor to our God. We believe for that. We believe for your seal of grace to be upon this service and this season in a very, very special way. We all agreed and said, amen, amen. Praise God. Please take a seat. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Well, this is a very, very interesting time for Pneuma Church. There's a lot of good things going on. And I was actually approached yesterday. I was returning from a team retreat. I lead another church in Brisbane called Hope Center, and we had a team retreat. And I came back, and most people who are part of our movement, the ACC, the Australian Christian Churches, know that Pneuma is in a season of transition. And I get asked a lot, do you think you're going to get a good leader for Pneuma in coming seasons? I say to them, do you think Jesus is interested in his church? Of course we're going to get a great leader in the days ahead. In the short term, you've got a fairly good one filling in. He does all right. He goes okay. And when he doesn't go okay, his wife tells him and he improves his game. So, but we are very, very prayerful. And I want you to know that even this week, I flew in not only to open the Word of God today, in this morning service and again tonight. I've also come in to work with our team as we continue to pray and seek the Lord and talk to people about who could be the leader of this great church. You've got a great history. I stood on this platform on October 26 and celebrated 100 years of ministry. Let me tell you something. I believe that's a platform to see something amazing in the decades that are ahead. Are you with me on that? Will you keep praying with us on that? I want you, you know, I know we had some traumatic experiences over the last couple of years in this process. And I commit as somebody that put their hand up to lead this church through this season and prepare it for the next. I commit to making sure that the season ahead is filled with peace, is done with righteousness, done properly, thoroughly, in a way that honors Jesus. And if we're taking a little time, sometimes slow is good. Slow is good that we get it right. And so just keep praying with us and we'll keep you up to date. We do have an AGM and a set for early June. We're going to send you all those information and all the details regarding that real soon. But just keep praying for us, and hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll be able to make some announcements about how that is progressing. But in the meantime, I want you to know that Lynn and I and the leadership are very, very proud of our location pastors and our exec team. They have done a great job. Every location, yeah, would you thank them? Come on, no golf claps in this moment. Every location that's online right now, you thank them. They've done a great job. And the beauty is right now, I take as serious the job of leading Pneuma Church as I do the other church that I lead called Hope Center, which we've led for nearly 26 years. And my time during the week is sometimes it's split nearly more in the favor of Pneuma than it is in Hope Center. And we're taking this very seriously. But my job is to lead your leaders and their job is to lead you. And they are doing exceptionally well. And so you're not being neglected. Can I tell you, there's another church in my world, in the middle of Australia, the most isolated city in the world. If its identification is through its proximity to a capital city, is in our nation, it's called Alice Springs. Our church has a partnership with a church in Alice Springs, and for 2 years, they went without an on-the-ground lead pastor. And guess what? Over that 2 years, that church grew. And more leaders emerged and more volunteers emerged. So come on. Yes, I do believe in ultimately having this place with a key on the ground leader and great people leading you. But right now, you've got shepherds that really care for you. So lean into life groups, okay? If you want, you know, I hear a lot of people, oh, we want to go back to the early church days. Well, let me tell you what they did. They met in the temple, they met corporately, and they met in houses. Because you can't just grow to all you could be in Jesus by just feeding on a diet that's Sunday only. It's a brand new term. Hey, parents, your kids go back to school this week. Oh, I thought there'd be a little more excitement. I'm sure there's a lot more in the West. So why don't we start a new term with a new commitment? I'm going to grow in my faith by getting connected with some people. It is important that there are some people that know your birthday, that know what makes you happy, know what makes you sad, that knows your middle name. You know what mine is? Alexander. The Bible says to mark the mocker. That was my father's name. I thought it was rather regal. So it's important that you're with a group of people that just know everything about you. Because you know what? Your pastors may not know if you go to hospital, but your friends in your life group will. Now, we hope our pastors know, but sometimes things get missed. But this is why it is so important that our community is not just a Sunday show. So let's together keep growing. And in the foreseeable future, we'll have leaders that are properly appointed. This new season is going to be done in unity. It's going to be done in peace. It's going to be done in joy. Can you believe for that? Amen. All right. So I know there's been some, we had some terribly traumatic experiences in the past. I get that. That's why I'm here. Right? We're moving forward and we're going to do it with dignity and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you good with that? So just keep praying for us. So a couple other things in church news. About 6 weeks ago, Pastors Kane and Alyssa came to us, Kane and Alyssa Attard came to us and said, there's been a stirring in our hearts. We said, okay, what's that mean? They said, we feel it's time for us to lead our own church. And they didn't feel it was to be Pneuma Church, but they felt that there was something in their heart that God was calling them back to the state of Queensland where they're from. And it's a church on the northern end of Brisbane in a little place called Bribie Island, a growing place, and it's called Freedom Church. And only last Sunday, the members of Freedom Church were asked to endorse them as their senior pastors. And so they have accepted that position. And on May 17, we will be praying over Kane and Alyssa, who are on the front row. And they've done a great job in missions and in kids. And so we thank you. You haven't been here for a long time, but it has been a good time. I remember talking to you on one of your first Sundays you were here. I remember asking you, why are you here? You said, I feel like I'm here to be part of the rebuilding of this church. And as we look around today, we just see what God is doing. And we've only just begun to launch into an exciting new season. We want to thank you for what you've done. Lissa stepped in when we didn't have a kids pastor, and we praise God for you. And we will do what the church has been doing for centuries, and that's releasing people to go and extend the kingdom of God. And we'll be doing that on May 17, and we'll be sending them out and believing God is going to do some great things in them and through them. And so the question is, what's next? And so I know missions. This church, Pneuma Church, if you're new to Pneuma Church, can I tell you about it? For decades, this church was the number one missions giving and sending church in the nation. And even now, it's one of the top churches in our movement. With 1,100 churches, it's one of the great churches. Last year, Pastor Kane, we had one of our best mission offerings that we've had in many, many years. Hundreds of thousands of dollars invested into the mission field. We didn't spend 1 cent on anything other than actually fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's because you gave. And Kane and the team oversaw that, and there's been some exciting developments in that space. But with Kane stepping into his next season in missions, we've just asked Pastor Joe, who's just got this amazing capacity. He is a gift of God to this house. He and Blessie, yeah. And Pastor Joe has said, yeah, no, throw the ball to me. Let me see what we could do in this season, where we take it from just being a person to a team, carrying it more broadly. Pastor Joel Kriegsman, our leader in Hobart. Oh yeah, we love Joel, don't we? Joel is going to step in and assist. Joel, who with his brand new facility in Hobart, they start very soon in that phenomenal facility. If you're ever in Tassie, go and visit them at Pneuma Hobart, and that will be fantastic. So Joel, and then we're going to build a team around them and get ready for Missions 2026 here at Pneuma. It's going to be incredible. So continue to sow, continue to believe, continue to pray, and that'll be good. And then in the kids' ministry, Alyssa, who's done a great job in just positioning it now for the new year. Families are important. Children's ministry is important. And I know if you're in another site right now, just give me a moment to just tell the city that we've already got somebody to step into those shoes and lead it as we move forward. So starting in May, we have a new kids leader. Her name is Amy Mione. Where are you, Amy? You're up there on a camera today. You should just put the camera on yourself so we could all see a good... Young ladies was sent out to help establish ministry in the States there in San Francisco, has been back here, just been praying about what God wanted her to do in the next season, and we were able to tell her what God wanted her to do in this season. And it sounds like you are greatly loved, Amy, and we're very, very excited about that. So God's got this. The church is fine. Amen? We are going to be just fine. And so today, we're going to open the Word as we launch a brand new series called Fearless in Faith. How did you know that? Fearless in Faith. And if you are somebody who would like to come back on tonight, I'm going to actually add to what we're sharing this morning. But I want to actually really dive into something, and I have this incredible sense that God is wanting me to come and bring the word of the Lord and counter what I sense is a dominant spirit at work in the hearts of men and women across the planet right now. It's a spirit of fear. Fear. You can't open any news feed right now, whether it's in print, whether it's electronic, whether it's on television. You can't open any news feed right now without a mention of a war in the Middle East. Iran, America, all the areas around the Middle East, and bombs and oil and everything that goes with that, and the effect of what that has had, the knock-on effect, the price of oil. Hey, have you noticed that the most smug people in town right now are the people with an EV? I've got a son with a Tesla. Doesn't he think he's good right now? I drive a diesel. I drive a Prado with a 120-litre tank. Yeah, I know. I sell body parts to fuel up. I get it, right? In fact, a couple of weeks ago, Lynn was doing a women's leadership event, and I was home on my own. I didn't know what to do. So I thought, I'll go and fill my car up. So I drive my four-wheel drive down to the servo, and I don't know if you've noticed, but there's not big lineups at the service stations right at the moment. So I turned up. I'm the only vehicle fueling up. I tapped out. I thought, $300, that's enough. So I thought, that'll do me. That'll get me for the next couple of weeks. And I went in to pay, and there's this most beautiful, big Samoan brother at the counter. And I walk in to pay him. He goes, "Hey, bro." He says, "That's a big bill, bro." He goes, "Congratulations, that's the biggest of the day, hey, bro?" I said, "Good on you." And he says to me, he goes, "Let me help a brother out." He said, are you with RACQ? Which is, I don't know what you have down here, AA or something. RACV. I said, "Yeah, I am." He says, "Give me your card." I said, "Oh, my wife's got it." He says, "Well, let me help a brother out." And he gets his own card out and he taps it. He saved me $3.64. We're working together. That really made a difference in my family budget. I get it, the price of fuel, and then they tell us the price of fuel is now going to cause other things to escalate and the cost of living is going to go crazy and they're going to keep putting up mortgage rates. And if you've got a mortgage, woe is us. There's a forgotten war in the Ukraine. And you know, I get what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, the whole earth seems to be groaning. It's groaning right now. And people quickly, their conversations go down a path where there's fear and concern. And possibly the greatest fear that people have in this season is one that we want to address. It's very, very important. It's fear regarding their own personal finances. I made the mistake of checking my Superfund balance the other day. It dropped a lot in 1 month. So I thought, I'm not going there anymore. And I get it. I get it. Fortunately, I'm only in my late 30s, and so I've got plenty of time. But I love the fact that the Bible gives us instructions on how to live in every season of life. In every season. This season hasn't caught God by surprise. He's not up in heaven with a bunch of support angels just helping him get through, you know, wondering what's going to happen now. I'm going to tell you something. We've got a God who is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's over it all. And he wants his children to flourish in life. We pray over you a lot. I've just come from a leadership team retreat. And a lot of our prayer time was for Pneuma Church. And our prayer included 3 John 2, which says, "We would that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." The little word in there, "as," is very much connected. Prosperity and health as your soul. It starts with a prospering soul. Where does a prospering soul start? By building foundations that are built on the foundations of the Word of God. The Word of God. So, if Jesus didn't ignore teaching on the sensitive subject of money, neither will we. You know, people, Jesus' main thing he talked about was love. No, it wasn't actually. If you unpack the Gospels, which really is the narrative of those three amazing world history changing years of Jesus' ministry on the planet, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you do a study of it and you'll discover that Jesus spoke on money and possessions and, more importantly, our attitude towards them than any other subject. In the book of Matthew, he addressed it 91 times. In the book of Mark, 57, Luke, 94 times. And in the book of John, he spoke on it 88 times. The great preacher, evangelist of the 20th century, Billy Graham, made this powerful statement. He said, "You tell me how any Christian responds to teaching on money and I'll tell you what they think about their God." So I'm going to encourage you to embrace this teaching. I know last week we had an amazing message and teaching from my good friend, Shane Willard. Actually, in God, just the way it's connected is amazing. It set us up for us to be able to teach this for the next few weeks. But I want you to know this is not so much a teaching about money. It's a teaching about devotion. It's a teaching about trust. If you embrace this teaching, I'm going to tell you something, it'll change your life. I know this for a fact. It'll change your family. It'll change what happens generationally in your family. Can break the cycle of debt. How many know that debt is one of the most fierce enemies of peace in our soul? It saps your energy. Can break the cycle of defeat. I have people that have come into our ministries over the years that they are third generation welfare recipients. They began to embrace the teachings of the Word of God, and before they know it, they've actually set themselves up, and for the first time ever in anyone in their family line, they're beginning to own their own property. Beginning to move into a place where they can be blessed to be a blessing. But it starts by actually a prospering soul that is building a life based on the principles of the Word of God. I'm not going to give you what I call Christian bingo principles. I'm not going to stand up here and be cheesy and say, if you give God $100 this week, he'll give you $1 million next week. We're not here with that. We're not here with that kind of teaching. We're here to actually help you live free from the controlling spirit of fear and help you build a life where you can have a platform for generosity. I get quite concerned when I hear people pray these prayers. Oh Lord, I pray that we won't have so much that we live arrogantly. Help us just have enough to get through this day. And I think that's one of the most selfish prayers I've ever heard. I want to be the answer to prayers some people are praying. I want to be the answer to prayers for nations that have not heard the gospel. I want to be able to sow into missions. I want to be generous on every occasion. I want to be blessed to be a blessing. And how does that start? It starts by putting the principles of the Word of God into place. Can somebody say amen? This is more than a teaching about money. It's a question that we've all got to answer. And here's the big question. Do we really trust God with everything? And everything includes our bank account. And I acknowledge that people are worried right now. I acknowledge that. But let me tell you something. Christians, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We come from a different place. We have a Father that cares for every one of our needs. And people are worried, but how many know that worry doesn't solve anything? Jesus, when he was addressing this, the greatest sermon ever preached is called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's incredible. And in it, Jesus seems to just go in every area of human existence, from how to pray to how to live. It's amazing. And he begins to address this whole issue regarding concerns about our material needs. And he asks the question in Matthew 6, 27. He said, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Can any one of you by worrying add a..." Can I tell you something? Worry won't add an hour to your life. It'll take several hours off. Worry. Someone once said that worry is like a rocking chair. Might keep you occupied, but it won't take you anywhere. Let's not be people who worry. In a world that's full of stress and concern, especially in this season, I want to point you today to the promises of a God who is good. I want to point you to the promises of a God who cares for you. And I want to underscore his word and tell you that it is supported and sustained by his unchanging character. Paul celebrated that unchanging character. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is one of my favorite verses. This is one of those hallmark, life-defining verses of Scripture that actually undergirds everything that Lynn and I have ever done in nearly 44 years of marriage and serving Jesus in all kinds of ways. This is it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the NIV says, the one who calls you is what? Say it again. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. That refers to the verse before. He will keep you, body, soul, and spirit. The one who calls you is faithful. I love the way the Message version puts it. The one who calls you replaces the word with faithful with completely dependable. Can I tell you something? Can I brag on my Heavenly Father? He is completely dependable in every season. He is completely dependable. Whatever the church is going through, whatever your family is going through, whatever your ministry, whatever your business, our God is completely dependable. You can rely on him. He keeps his word. Can somebody say amen? He keeps his word. So we live by faith. We live with uncompromising faith. Faith is more than optimism, by the way. Which, by the way, optimism I still rate as far better than pessimism. Oh, I tell you, I don't cope with pessimists. I let Lynn talk to them. Oh my gosh. People say, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty guy? I say, I'm a guy that's just glad there's a glass. Come on. I want to be that person that changes atmospheres. Tomorrow morning, I mean, you know, it's starting to cool in Melbourne. Tomorrow morning, Monday, you be the one that changes atmospheres. Come on. You be the one that comes into rooms with a different spirit. Oh, the world around. Oh, the weather. No. Hey, come on. You carry the kingdom with you. You carry the Spirit of God with you. You're the son and the daughter of the Most High God. Come on. It's going to be an amazing day. You got a choice in life, you know. You can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. You know what a thermometer does, doesn't it? It just tells you whether it's hot or cold. It just reflects the atmosphere. You know what a thermostat does? Changes atmospheres. Right? You've all got a thermostat in your fridge. When things aren't right, it kicks in. Let's be the thermostat in our family. Let's be the thermostat in our church. Oh, you know, we haven't yet got a senior pastor. Come. It's going to be okay. Because you know what? Whoever their name is, let me tell you, there's a name above that. It's the name above all names. His name is Jesus. And he said he would build his church. So come on, let's change our conversations. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Let me tell you how you'll know it's acceptable. It starts here because our attention is there. And what's in here comes out. Fear and faith. You know, they're both powerful forces. Let me tell you what faith says, according to the book of Hebrews 11. Faith says that what I can't see will probably happen. You know what fear does? It says what I can't see will probably happen. Job said the thing I feared most came upon me. Let's not be those people that actually posture ourselves for bad things and bad news. Amen? So it's our responsibility to posture ourselves in a way that determines the inner state of my life, the quality of my relationships, what happens in my mind will all be in a position that comes from a focus on Jesus. And out of that, I can in turn shape my future. And the principles that I want to share with you and the principles our teaching team across every site is going to teach over the next 3 weeks really comes from this belief. King Solomon, he put it this way. He said in Psalm 37, this beautiful psalm, Psalm 37, it's rich. He said this, I've been young and now I'm old. See, when I read this, I say, I've been young and I'm now sort of middle age. Cynics in this room. I've been young and now I'm old. And this is what he said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. Yeah. I have a long-term view of the kingdom. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Yeah. This is not a sky is falling moment. No, no, no. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Let me tell you something. That's my story. I didn't realize it until I was much older, but I grew up in maybe the poorest family in the street. My dad was pioneering churches in country towns. That's not a way to become a millionaire. My father had to take a secular job, whether it was he was a baker by trade, which didn't always fit the sort of timetable of pastoring. He'd drive trucks for plumbing supplies. He'd work in a sawmill. He'd pick oranges on a farm out in the Burnett region of Queensland. He'd do all kinds of things to have the right to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and teach a Bible study on Wednesday night. All right? And we didn't have a whole lot of coin, but let me tell you something. We always had food on the table. We always went on holidays. We always had clothes on our back. And over and over and over, I saw the goodness of God. I saw divine provision was common in our place, and we didn't even know it. My mother got terribly sick when I was a little boy. And I still remember leaving country Queensland and driving down to her hometown of Adelaide to get treatment. We're out the back somewhere on the New South Wales, Victorian border somewhere. And I still remember as a little boy, you know, a long road trip, a little boys, you got to stop sometimes. And I still remember as a little boy getting out of my parents' car and going over the side of the road. And my father, I still remember him saying, well, will you look at that? I didn't realize we were very low on fuel and we were very low on money. My father pulled a large banknote out of a bush in the middle of the Australian countryside. And those things happened all the time. It happened all the time because, you see, my parents served Jehovah Jireh, our provider. I don't know how it works. I just know if you seek first, say first, if you seek first the kingdom, then the other things are added. I meet a lot of modern Christians that go seeking the other things and hopefully there's a little bit left for the kingdom. It does not work that way. It's a recipe for sorrow. Miracle after miracle we saw. And even when I was away from God, I'm a preacher's kid that broke my parents' heart all of my teens. Didn't come back to Jesus until I was just after my 20th birthday. Went through high school, did the university thing. Let me tell you something. Every young person, listen to me. If you're thinking of backsliding and you've got praying parents, forget it. It's a waste of time. I learned that. So I was going through uni and I had all the albums, you know, back in the 70s, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath and all this stuff, right? I had them all. And I could sing every song, but there was one song I couldn't sing when I was a young person. You know what it was? It was a song that was written and sung by one of the famous band, the Beatles, John Lennon. He had a song called Imagine There's No Heaven. And I could be completely out of my face at a party and I couldn't sing it. You know why? I knew there was a heaven and I knew there was a God. Because that God had shown himself completely dependable to my parents all through my life. So I have an unshakable conviction in the strength of God's promises. Seek first, Jesus says, Matthew 6:33. When he's actually talking about material provision, he says, seek first the kingdom. And his righteousness, that's an important part. All these things will be given to you. So the big call of heaven to our hearts today is simply to obey. Obey his word, trust his character, and live in his benefits. Some of us are old enough to remember in Sunday school we used to sing a little song, Trust and Obey. Remember that? Remember that? Can you still get your hand up in the air? Good. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. For nearly 20 years, I led a ministry in this country called Youth Alive. It's a ministry that literally saw hundreds of thousands of Australian teenagers find Jesus. It was an exciting thing. But we were living by faith. Most weeks I didn't have a guaranteed wage. And it was a privilege. You know, we'd pack out stadiums, see thousands of kids come to Jesus. But, you know, money was challenging sometimes. And right in that space, my youngest son, who's now the executive pastor in the church in Hope Center, right in the middle of it, one day, he was about 6 years of age. He was in maybe year two in primary school. And in the middle of dinner one night, he goes, "Hey, Dad." I said, "Yeah, mate, we're in the middle of a meal." He said, "Are we rich?" I dropped my cutlery. I said, "Beg your pardon?" He said, "Are we rich?" I said, "Why?" He said, "All the kids at school reckon we're rich." I said, "Do they?" I said, "Why?" And he began listing all the things that were flowing out of us seeking first the kingdom. They were traveling the world with us, preaching the gospel. He sat in military camps as we preached to army, whole armies and military teams and seeing sometimes 3,000 and 4,000 people get saved in one occasion. And little guy, like six, wide eyes. And you just happen, if you were smart, you'd buy a round the world ticket and you had to go home via Disneyland. And you know, and so Dad had taken him to Disneyland and all this stuff. And he'd go, "Dad, are we rich?" I was living by faith, not even sure if I was going to get paid next week. "Are we rich?" I said, "Yeah, we're stinking rich." You go back and tell them we're rich because your dad works for a king. And he did. Told him later it was King Jesus. See, favor has followed our commitment to trust God. And can I tell you something? I am not preaching theory today. This for me is so real. It's lived experience. And I want every one of you to jump on this journey. I've led churches through GFCs, through the recessions we had to have, through COVID and all these things. And I've seen our people trust God in this area and come out the other side ridiculously blessed. It says of Isaac, he sowed in famine. Ready? He sowed in famine. Guess what happened? And in that year, he reaped a hundredfold. This is not a time to close your Bible and ignore the promises. This is a time to step up and say, "God, I trust you with all my heart. You are a God who is completely dependable." Church, hear my heart. Trusting God with our money is not relative to the size of our bank account. It's relative to the state of our heart. To students, if God can't trust you with tithing on 100, I'm not sure what you'll do when you've got a million. It's all about this. And there's a classic example of this in Scripture. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus, let me just bring this into modern setting. Jesus is at church. In Mark 12, and verse 41, we pick up a short story. And could you imagine this? He sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in. Wow. And he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people. I hope you read the Bible with the video playing. Can you see this? Many rich people threw in their large amounts with the check face up so people could see and be impressed. But a poor widow came and put in two. I love the way the NIV puts it, two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Can you just see her? She would have waited to the end of the line. And all the rich people are putting in the large amounts and people are going ooh and ah. She rummages through a handbag, through the old bus tickets and tissues and whatever else is in a woman's handbag. And she finds down the bottom two small copper coins. And she just quietly, hope they don't rattle, just puts them in. And calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, This poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the other than all of the others, and they nudge each other and said, "We got to get him to Specsavers." Jesus, they were two small coins, but Jesus said, "Hey, you hear this? They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything. She put in everything. All she had to live on." This little widow, Jesus says, "Let me tell you something, sweetheart, don't you be embarrassed. Because this was something they gave, and it's good they gave, but this didn't hurt, but you gave in everything. You're saying that you trust, and I want you to hear me today. As we speak on faith, and as we even zone in faith and trusting God in this area, can I tell you something? You need to hear this loud and clear. You can't separate trust and devotion. Trust and devotion. I've got a motto in life, a little theory. I believe this with all my heart. It says you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. You know why generosity is such an important thing in the life of a disciple? You know why it's very, very important for those of us that have chosen to make Jesus Lord? It's so important because when we become generous, we begin to reflect the nature and character of our God. Let me tell you about our God. He is so generous, He gave His very best. John 3:16, "For God so loved that He gave." I feel for pastors that feel that they have to stand and beg people to give. Can I tell you something? If you love, you'll give. If you'll trust, you'll believe His promises. We sing a lot of songs about loving and trusting God, but this is where the rubber meets the road. Love what Tozer said. Most Christians don't tell lies, they sing them. Are we the people that live the songs we claim? The declarations we make? Proverbs, I love it. Solomon, again, he wrote this in chapter 11, verse 24. He said, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly." Why do we withhold? Because of fear. It comes to poverty. Can I tell you what trust looks like? It looks like an open hand. Some of us need to trust God with our kids right now. Do it with an open hand. Some of us need to trust God with areas practically. Do it with an open hand. You know what fear does? Hold it close. But he goes on further and he says, listen to this. "A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." There are principles of the kingdom, and we're going to teach you these. You need to tell your friends that right now are really panicking about money. You need to get under this teaching. Be here next week and the week after. Because there are keys to you shining in the midst of when everything seems so dark. I have a lot of people, and don't judge me for this, but hear my heart as a shepherd. I have a lot of people come to me and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me to have a financial miracle?" And I want to pray for them for that. But before I do, can I ask you a question? I said, "Sure." I said, "Does your lifestyle demonstrate that you trust God in this area?" I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Do you follow the instructions of Scripture regarding what you should do and handle your money in a kingdom, God-honoring way?" Because I need to tell you something before we pray. God does miracles. He doesn't do magic. God won't contravene His word. He does things in accordance with His word. Would you stop asking Him for financial miracles when you won't fulfill your part of responsibility as a follower of Jesus? Practice biblical stewardship in a way that says, "God, I trust you. I trust you with my first. I trust you with my best. Want me to go there? I trust you with my tithe." I hear pastors thanking people for their generosity in tithing. I said, "That's not generous. That's obligation." Bible says, says bring. It doesn't say give, just bring it. This is yours. Can I tell you something? You start going on this journey of trusting God in this area, you'll find when you trust God, you'll do a lot more with 90 when you trust him with the first than you can with 100 doing this out of here. Anybody know I'm telling the truth here today? This is breakthrough stuff. Even in the Amplified, these instructions, these promises don't have a little thing, oh, that's of course, unless you're going through a financially difficult time on the planet. No, no, no. These principles work in every season of life. See, many people can quote Proverbs 3, listen to it, verse 5. A lot of people, and can I tell you, they only ever quote half a sentence. It's not even a whole sentence in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all, with what? All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That's an incredible thing. But that sentence continues. It's not even a new sentence in verse 6. Because verse 6 goes on, and it says, in all your ways. In how many? In all your ways. Oh, here's a big word that a lot, we're 21st century people, we won't be told what to do. And if anybody opens the scripture and tells, we'll go to another church. And you know what? And you'll never break free. In all your ways, submit to him. You know what it is to submit? Means to yield to a higher authority. I think there's a lot of Christians that at best want God for fire insurance. We don't want to go to hell and we kind of like Sundays because we've got some friends in church. That's not what it's all about. That's part of the beautiful benefits. Eternal life, yeah, that's the big one. But abundant life, living a life where we're so full and so rich that we're being blessed to be a blessing, but we're blessed because we're putting these principles into place. We're submitting to the authority of our God's word. Yeah. Is it just me or did it go quiet? Did it go as quiet in the South? Come on, people. I want you to trust God. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to submit if you don't trust him. But I'm here today to tell you he is completely dependable. I'm here to tell you, in accordance with God's word in Malachi 3, he wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out uncontainable blessing. But let me tell you what unlocks those windows. Trust. Trust. Acts of obedience. As I said, as the team come and join me here today, as I've said, I've lived this not only as a preacher's son, but I started life in my early 20s in a very lucrative career, had it all mapped out, was pretty happy with where it was all going to go financially. And God began to work on my heart, began to speak to me about ministry and youth, which ultimately started as a youth group and ended up in Youth Alive. It was a massive step of faith. My gosh, it was a massive step. Took over a 70% pay cut to become a youth pastor. But can I tell you something? I don't regret it for a minute. Lynn and I, we walk every day. Every day. One of my mottos in life is I have to do something at least for 30 minutes. Look after that. All that stuff. And we walk often. And maybe the most common theme of our conversations as we walk is the goodness of God. And occasionally, every few months, we go, do you remember where this all started? Being called into my dad's office at the time, he says, oh, we really feel the hand of God's on you to lead youth. And I said, oh, wow. He said, yeah, we're offering you a full-time wage. And he told me what it was. Okay. But the call was stronger than the financial offer, and we took this massive step of faith. And we just are overwhelmed at God's kindness to us and how this journey of faith has just seen blessing after blessing after blessing. This is not some, I know some of you turn off when we start talking about this, you think, oh, this is just some cheesy televangelist thing. It is not. This is the word of God. Stop praying prayers, I just want enough for I, me and my. Start praying bigger prayers so you can be a blessing in a hurting world. You can be the answer to some prayers that people are praying. But it starts by putting Him first, by trusting Him at His word. It's easy to trust in the good times, but it's the real challenge is, will I trust Him when the heat's on? In these seasons, we can be blessed. And I know some of us have believed the lie that there's no way out. Some of you are here to maybe hear for the first time that you can actually break free. Things can change. It starts by trusting a God that is completely dependable. The Bible says you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Let me tell you what the truth is. God is good and He does good. You've got a Heavenly Father that cares for you. And today I'm going to ask you to stand at every location. I'm going to hand back to your location pastors. Before we do, just let me say, lean into this series. The teaching team, your location pastors, got some things in their heart that are going to do you good. It's going to bless your family and the generations that follow. If you want to come out tonight, I'm going to preach further on this subject, take it a little further and a little deeper. Let's trust God. I'm going to invite your location pastors to do what I'm about to do here. Because some people, even in what's going on in the world, our hearts are wobbly, we're afraid. Where do we look to? You look to somebody bigger and stronger and more dependable than any human being. Right now, let me tell you, the thing that's brought you into this moment is you've been searching for answers. And the answer's found in a living and loving God who made Himself known to us through His Son, Jesus. And there are some in each site that's watching this, some in this room right now. You came here today on a journey searching for answers. You found what you're looking for in the person of Jesus. So be blessed. Trust God and see what He does for you. So the rest of us, I'm going to ask us to stand. The team to come and join us. Before we worship our God, who is so good, and I want to thank You for embracing today. Some people get a little worried when the church starts talking about money. I said, well, who is allowed to talk about money? The gambling companies, the banks, the merchants. They do, and nobody seems to get too worried. Let me tell you, they don't promise what God does. Give and it'll be given back to you. Press down, shaken together, running out all over. That's my God. So today I'm calling you to trust Him. Before we move today, right now, before we move across this room, I'm going to ask every hand open before God. Would you bow your heads and take a posture of prayer? For some of us, this is even an awkward teaching, stretching teaching. But I want you to relax. I want you to rest in a confidence that your God, your Heavenly Father, loves you. And all He does is invites you to trust Him. And if you trust Him, you'll obey Him. And when you obey Him, you'll see the fruit of that obedience. And I want you to whisper your own prayer before I pray for you. Maybe in your hands you're holding a business. Maybe in your hands you're holding a job that's got question marks on it. Maybe in your hands you're holding a fairly sizable mortgage. Maybe in your hands you're holding some challenging debts that are coming your way. I want to today encourage you to seek first the kingdom. Live according to His word. Steward every area of your life, including this area of the material possessions. Steward in accordance with His instructions and watch what He will do for you. I declare over you that He will never see the righteous forsaken. We are righteous because of Jesus, and then because of Jesus, we live righteously. So whisper your prayer to Him. Whisper your prayer. God, I trust You. Some of you are going to take tiny little incremental steps of trust. Wow, this is a new space. Come on, make Him Lord of it. Make Him Lord over all of it. Some of you just need to reach out and take your spouse's hand. Some of you are engaged and you're going to step into a whole new life of marriage. Can I tell you something? Lynn and I, for 44 years, we have never failed. I can say this, we've never failed to put God first in this area, and we are overwhelmed at how kind He's been to us. So this isn't theory, this is life for us. So I bless you today. I bless your life, your household, your finances, your business interests, as you put Jesus first. For those of you in the marketplace, I pray for unique wisdom like men and women of old that God raised up in their generation to guide and speak. I pray for an unusual gift of wisdom to navigate this era. Pray like men, like Joseph, that wherever you go, kings would be blessed because of you. And I pray over every one of us. Pray for those watching online still, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers. The team are going to begin to lead us in worship. Don't anybody leave. I'm going to ask the most important question any human being can be asked in a moment. Just for a moment, the hands that have been out, I wonder if they could be raised as we worship Jesus with this song. Come on.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.